Hello, Grace Community Church. Today we'll round out part one of the Heidelberg Catechism entitled Misery. And we'll do that by looking at question number 11. But before we look at just question 11, let's ask questions 9 and 10, and then we'll see that question 11 flows right out of that. All right, jump right in. Question 9. But doesn't God do us an injustice by requiring in His law what we are unable to do? So God's unjust, right? No. God created human beings with the ability to keep the law. They, however, provoked by the devil in willful disobedience, robbed themselves and all their descendants of these gifts. Question 10. Does God permit such disobedience and rebellion to go unpunished? So God is just? Or does He just let everybody just do whatever they want and there's no punishment? Certainly not. God is terribly angry, the Catechism says, with the sins we are born with as well as the sins we personally commit. As a just judge, God will punish them both now and in eternity, having declared cursed everyone who does not observe and obey all the things written in the book of the law. And now, after those two tough questions, question 11 now asks, but isn't God also merciful? So see that we see that God is not unjust. And I see that God is, well, then just. I see that I'm a sinner. Is there any sliver of hope before we move out of this section? Is there something I can hope in with all this bad news of my great misery? The writers must have said to one another, let's give them some hope before we move on to question 12. But isn't God also merciful? Not sure that this is some profound theological statement, but more of a plea. Anybody that reads questions 3 through 10 will be coming away with their overwhelming sense of misery, like we've said. And this is like a heart cry. But isn't God merciful? Please tell me He is. Please remind me that He is. Is there any good news? God is certainly merciful. But what? But the answer isn't over. It goes on. He is also just. And just like that, the taste of mercy is over. He is also just. The answer goes on. God's justice demands that sin committed against His supreme majesty be punished with the supreme penalty, eternal punishment of body and soul. We see something similar in the Bible when God passed in front of Moses in Exodus 34, starting at verse 6. Then the Lord passed by in front of him and proclaimed, the Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness and truth, who keeps loving kindness for thousands, who forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin. Yet, kind of like that but we just read in this text. This text says, yet He by no means will leave the guilty unpunished, visiting the iniquity of fathers on the children and on the grandchildren to the third and fourth generations. God is just. Like we saw last week, God will punish every sin. And again, Psalm 103, verses 8 through 9, the similar theme. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness. Just like our question says, well, isn't God also merciful? Well, this text in Psalm says, He will not always strive with us, nor will He keep His anger forever. Just like we just read. But God is also just. So do we think that God is subject to justice? Does God have to do what justice requires? No, God is justice. He is not subjecting Himself to some higher law. He set the law, and that's why it says in the answer, God's justice. Justice is nobody else's except God's alone. And when we sin against His supreme majesty, that then means that we suffer the supreme penalty, which is eternal punishment of body and soul. And so some have concluded that God's justice is not fair with the crime, that the punishment does not fit the crime. Why does it have to be an eternal punishment, people ask? Why can't we just be either annihilated or go through some type of purgatory or something like that? Why does it have to be eternal death and hell, but yet never really dying? A movie I just watched here recently, made me think of an eternal punishment, an eternal death of the body. It was a person that was given the gift of immortality, but it was an immortality that would die but come back to life over and over again. And so this person was, they were put in this metal box and trapped in a metal box and threw to the bottom of the ocean. And so the person, of course, this person had immortality, but they would die trapped inside that box. They would drown. And then they would come back to life again. And then they would drown again and come back to life again. So for days and weeks and months and years and thousands of years, the person just kept drowning over and over again, feeling, and they actually felt the pain. And they felt the of course, the horrible feeling of not being able to breathe, but yet coming back to life again over and over just to suffer it over and over again. And I thought, man, hell is going to be so much more worse than that. And because this is just the punishment of the body. You got to think about, what about the soul? That's going to be far worse than that. And so back to the punishment not fitting the crime, an analogy that has stuck with me, and I don't remember who I heard it from, but it goes something like this. You throw an apple at your friend, and you're going to probably get the apple either thrown back at you or some type of mean look. You throw an apple at your elderly neighbor, well, you might get some mean words or a phone call to the police. You throw the apple at the police officer, you could get sent to jail. You throw the apple at the president of the United States, you will suffer severe crimes. So see, it's not necessarily the act that yields the punishment. It's who the act or the crime was against that brings about the punishment. Because it was the same apple that you threw at your friend, the same apple you threw at the president. And one was not too big of a deal, the other one was a huge deal. And so it is with God. But God is someone infinitely greater and higher than the president of the United States. And you've sinned against him multiple times. You have sinned against his supreme majesty, which necessarily produces that penalty. And the penalty, you will receive the judgment. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 30 and 30 through 31. For we know him who said, vengeance is mine, I will repay. And again, the Lord will judge his people. 31 says, it is a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And so when I read that, I thought, is that wrong to say that it's a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of a living God? Is that wrong? No, it's certainly not wrong. Because, one, it's the scripture. But again, we got to think, God deserves the right to be just. We can't change him and change his justice. So it is a terrifying thing, knowing that we're sinners and he's holy, to fall into that hand. But again, isn't God merciful? He certainly is. So see how this ends up putting you at the mercy of God. It, just like last week, it's your only plea. It's your only hope would be that God would be merciful. And I appreciate that about this catechism, because just like scripture, it reveals to you that it reveals, like, don't you dare come to God thinking that you don't come to God with your demands. Don't dare come to God thinking he owes you. This is clear that you have clearly treated him wrongly your entire life, and he's perfectly holy and you're sinful. And there's the only plea and hope you have is mercy. There's no, you have no higher ground like to stand on and to demand things of God. And so that is what this catechism does right out of the gate in this section, this part called misery. And I hope that's clear. I hope I'm getting that across clearly. One more thing I want to look at, and that is the tendency of sinful man is to try and divide God's mercy with his justice. So sinful man will always try to get one up on God, and that will be, well, I'm going to pit mercy and love against one another, mercy and justice, or wrath and love. I'm going to pit them against one another. And so that's the tendency of sinful man, is to divide God's mercy with his justice. And Kevin DeYoung says this to this point: divine love without divine wrath is meaningless. When we minimize God's justice, we do not exalt his mercy. We actually undermine it. God's mercy exhibits its full power and sweetness when we see it not merely as a general goodwill to all people, but as the means by which God's people are rescued in Christ from their just wrath and condemnation. And so both justice and mercy, well, they meet. They meet at the character of God. Another quote, Dane Ortlund in his new book, Gentle and Lowly. Dane says this. He says, "The wrath of Christ and the mercy of Christ are not at odds with one another. They're not like a seesaw going back and forth, like one diminishing to the degree of the other. Rather, the two rise and fall together. The more robust one's felt understanding of just wrath of Christ against all that is evil, both around us and within us, the more robust our felt understanding of His mercy. They rise and fall together. So God cannot emphasize one attribute at the exclusion of others. He is fully all His attributes at the same time because God's fully one. He's not in parts. He's not complex. God is merciful in His justice, and God is just in His mercy. And again, like we've reminded each other the last 2 weeks, that can never change. God cannot change. He cannot change His mercy, and He cannot change His justice. Well, you're thinking, well, I thought God was love, and you hear that. God's love. How can He be wrathful? God is certainly love. That is clear. But His love will mean nothing. His mercy will mean nothing if He is not also just. A thing to think about it that kind of proves this is Christians hate abortion. Well, why? Oh, Christians like President Trump. That's why they hate abortion. No, you couldn't be further from the truth than that. They hate abortion. Christians hate abortion because they love life. Christians hate abortion because they hate murder. And they hate murder because they love life. They love people made in God's image. They love people made in God's image and want to protect the weak and indefensible. Politics has nothing to do with it. Love, fueled by justice. Justice, fueled by love. They come together, hand in hand. So, let's conclude with one more question. So God, we understand God judges righteously, and we deserve punishment. We know that. Then the Catechism wants you to come to the conclusion of, well, how are we ever going to escape that? And that's a good question. And next week, we'll look at that as we go into Lord's Day number 5, which would be part 2, called Deliverance. Hope you have a good week.